Oh my goodness, it's time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan is with us, returned back, rested and refreshed.
Is my mic on? Ah,
it's been 2 weeks.
You are a professional.
We've forgotten how to do it.
It's all right. I'm back. Subsequently, as most people are returning from vacation, I'm still totally checked out. I've just been trying to condense, you know, a week's worth of frenetic activity into about, you know, 24 plus hours.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, we came back a day early, so I'm settling. My house is not a disaster anymore, which is, that's huge, because I'm super OCD. But yeah, we had a really lovely time. We went to upstate New York to Cooperstown, which is my old stomping grounds and where I met my wife at the Glimmerglass Opera. We refrained. The only thing we did not do was go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, because basically it costs about $1 million a person. Yeah. And so I said to my children, listen, and I've been there when I was a kid, and I'm sure, I mean, I know it's expanded, but when I was a kid, literally every friend I had up to my parents' cabin, we would go there, and I don't ever need to go again unless unless something miraculous happens with baseball as I know it. But I told the kids, I was like, listen, if one or both of you get really into it, you know the names, you know the history, you geek out hard on something, I will bring you there. But we did pretty much everything else available up there, including going underground, which was huge for me, because
I saw that. Yeah.
And actually, this relates to the wine industry as well. Yeah, I'm claustrophobic, as my father was before me, and still is, as far as I know. Happy birthday, Dad! 80 today.
Hmm.
But we went in Howe Cavern, so this wonderful underground river, essentially, that carved out all this, and as my father warned me, this place called the Winding Stair, and it was like, just keep going. It was tough. And I remember the last time I had that sort of feeling is when I was in the wine caves in France, actually in Beaujolais. They have this massive sort of underground network that they've carved out, and the feeling of all that earth above me, it was just it wasn't even claustrophobic. In some of those caves in France, I mean, they're massive. They were designed to have like trucks drive down there. But still, it's an incredible feeling of knowing that all this mass is just sort of
right there. Yeah.
And they tell you things like, oh, that gigantic rock right up there, it's all, you know, it fell a million years ago and it's on its way down. Someday it's going to fall again. And like, then, you know, you notice that the path like goes right under it. You're like, is it today?
Can someone else go first?
Eric, why don't you go? Oh, good. He made it. Well, it's my turn. Yeah. No, it was super cool, and we got to again, you know, with my love of food, we my wife and I laugh. We go on vacations. We do not buy souvenirs. We buy food.
It's perfect.
It's all we buy. So we came home. There's actually a Quaker community up there, so we bought like unpasteurized Camembert and all this wonderful stuff, and actually cave aged cheddar that's aged in the Howe Cavern. So yeah, very cool. And yeah, I mean, this is nice. I feel like today, with such frenetic craziness going on in the world, it's good to sort of bring everybody back to wine and the simpler things. And
we wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, and vacation was good for me too, because I was with my family, and my family has differing views on pretty much everything. And what brought us together was, of course, just you know, sitting around the table and eating some really, really excellent food. Provided by the birthday boy, as well as the guy talking to you now. I'm sorry I missed last week, so we kind of left off the last part of Italy, but since it's September, we're moving into North America, to California.
We talked Sicily last week.
Well, 2 weeks ago.
Well, last week too, right?
Did you play?
The best of Message in the Bottle.
The best of. Well, I hope you all enjoyed it. Sicily, a wonderful place. Viva Corleone. And yeah, so today and we're going to move into to the Americas now and hit what is, of course, the US's largest wine producer by a lot. I mean, when we start to talk about the Pacific Northwest next month and we talk about the second largest, yeah, they're not even close. It's like 10% of what California does. California, as I don't have to tell anybody, is an extraordinarily wonderful agricultural phenomenon, basically from top to bottom. And so it surprises no one that you can grow not only a lot of things, but as there are a lot of parts of California that are challenging in terms of, you know, the sort of very fertile agriculture that you'd expect that provides so much of our produce and stuff like that. That's really funny. Both you and I say produce. I noticed that earlier when you were doing your tiller and rye read.
As opposed to produce?
Produce, yeah. but anyway, so...
Well, I say product.
Yeah.
I don't say product.
I don't know. I just wonder at the peculiarities of life. That's all I can tell you. It means we're both right. I mean, don't, you know, let's not kid ourselves. But in a lot of these wonderful mountain ranges and drier areas that are all over California, and we will be talking about a lot of them in the next coming weeks, it's terrific because, as we always talk about, you know, vines want struggle. They don't want to be planted on the river's edge, although in parts of Sonoma, as a lot of my European friends like to remind me, vines are planted anywhere they can get vines so that they can say they're wines from, you know, Sonoma, which fetches a higher price, of course. It's really excellent. And so you have a lot of very, you know, mass-produced things. You have a lot of medium, you know, what one would still consider artisanal, but I mean, you know, branching into the supermarket chains and things like that. And then, of course, you have really esoteric stuff. Really cool stuff like the wine we're going to drink today, which is the Handley it's the new vintage, the 2015 Chardonnay from the Handley Estate in the Anderson Valley, which is an absolutely tremendous wine, just full of, like, you know, pineapple and lychee and good acidity. I mean, it's as I was saying before we started, when I tasted it, because of course, I mean, if I didn't taste it, how would I know what to talk about? This is Chardonnay that does not, I mean, if you don't like Chardonnay, that's cool. You should try this anyway, because it's really, really excellent. I always sort of start off this segment with, how did California make it, right? Because it's not one of these antiquated wine regions that we know about, sort of. And we're going to talk about the origins of the wine industry in California next week. But suffice to say, of course, a lot of our European friends, especially the Spanish settlers and everybody who liked wine, did bring grapes and did try to make wine to varying success. But what really sort of started the whole thing was a very famous tasting, now referred to as the Judgment of Paris. It was run by a guy named Steve Spurrier, not the old ball coach, who's now going to be coaching one of these new spinoff football teams,
right,
in the new thing. But not him. There was an English businessman who bought a little shop in the sort of the financial district of Paris in the 70s and started teaching classes upstairs drawing from his clientele and saying, hey, would you like to learn a little bit more about wine? And he set up this very famous tasting, all French tasters, at the Hotel de Ville in Paris. And it was a blind tasting. It was, you know, the young upstart California wines versus the classic Bordelais and Burgundian wines of France. And indeed, what ended up happening is that these very, very esteemed judges tasted all these wines. And one famously said, upon drinking a glass of Chardonnay, not from France, in fact, ah, at last, back to France. Not so much. And so indeed, the top scoring Chardonnay, which was going up against white Burgundy, you know, by law Chardonnay, and then the top ranking Bordeaux, which was a Cabernet heavy Bordeaux, was up against California Cabernets, and indeed the California ones won out. It was the Chateau Montelena, by the way, Chardonnay that won, and the Stag's Leap Cabernet that won out. Were they better than their French counterparts? Tough to know. If you look at the full scoring, frankly, the French did pretty well. It just happens that the top scorers were California. And the wines have changed since then a lot, because the wineries that were being run then were either being, you know, the wines were being made by expat Europeans or by sort of hippie Californians who were using the wild yeast, and they were not making the California wines that we know of that are very expensive and big, which is why I dig the Handley we're drinking right now, because it's A, not very expensive, and B, not very big. It's made like a really fine Chardonnay with, you know, litheness and just, it's beautiful. But that's really what put California on the map. All of a sudden, people from all over the world read about this tasting, and then other tastings were held quickly thereafter because people were like, you got to be kidding me. You know, the Americans, I mean, yeah, they helped us out in the war, but they, look at what's happened since then. And this is the truth. I mean, what did we start developing after the war? We started developing, you know, hungry man dinners and quick, convenient things, you know, and the idea of wine and slow food was a long time coming. I mean, of course, there were originators out there, including, you know, Alice Waters and John Tower and people like this in food. But there weren't a lot of people who were like thinking the California wines were going to make it if that's what they were like, you know. And eventually, perhaps that's why they didn't stay that way. They became bigger, bolder things to kind of go along with the American palate and try to, well, frankly, make money. Capitalism is okay, but it's really nice to know that now there's been a kind of a resurgence of real food, real wine out there. And as I said, this Handley is a perfect example of that. This is a woman, Mila Handley, who graduated UC Davis in 1978. That's the same year I was born, right? So 40 years ago. And she went and made real wine with real principles, and it's really fabulous. Now, I have a couple minutes left. I did want to mention we are here in the new month, which means a new tasting. We're going to be tasting some really cool California wines with my friend Jason Sheridan from South Portland Wine Company. They have the kind of California wines I want you all to try. So do make sure that you come out from 5 to 7 p.m. That's going to be on the 20th this month, so the third Thursday, the 20th, 5 to 7 p.m. And we're putting some really interesting things together for the holiday season. I can't believe I'm bringing this up. But on the other hand, I'm really excited about a lot of these things, some cool tastings and some other events, some wine dinners maybe that we're going to get together that we're going to do with the right sort of people. So they're going to be exciting to go to. I know everybody and their mother was doing wine dinners and all these. We're done with that.
When you say the right kind of people, does that mean we're not invited?
This is awkward. This is awkward.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I understand.
Cool. All right, cool. We're cool then? All right, nice. So yeah.
We're used to it.
No, I mean people who believe in excellent food and excellent wine and are going to, you know, and also reasonably priced so that everybody can afford it, because Everybody should be able to be enjoying the best stuff in life. That's what we're about at Bangor Wine and Cheese, and I invite you to come on out.
Good to have you back. We missed you.
Cheers. I missed being home. It's true what they say. There's no place like it.
First day of school went well?
It did. A couple tears on Eric Charles's part, but that's okay. You know, it's we Meehans are an emotional lot.
That's why we love you.
Cheers.